I would spend the whole day at work thinking about how cool
naked
it would
Viggo
be.
Naked Viggo Mortensen.
Well, you and me naked rolling around on the floor. That's what I was thinking about all day at work.
Sounds great.
Everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
And, I kind of stumbled there because I was going to make a sound. I was going to go, kind of a World Cup celebrating the kind of a vuvuzela sort of thing.
Oh, okay. Are people still vuvuzeling?
I don't know. I am.
Okay, all right.
What's weird about the complaints about the vuvuzela is that for about...
Wait a second, who was complaining about that?
Well, for about 400 years, people have been doing it in the Canadian Football League. Like, if you listen to any game on television, all you hear from the crowd are these kind of brrrr sounds. So, like, why are people upset about the fact that during the soccer games, they're going, making the same noise?
Well, I know, people have been taken to the streets over it. Like the protesters outside here. I don't know why people are protesting Hello Kitty Studios, but the signs. And the thing is, they got their own vuvuzelas, but it's the anti-vuvuzelas.
Oh, so what do they have to...
They just suck them. Yeah, suck them. And it sounds like... which to me, all you're doing is you're attracting whales.
Yes.
And now the streets are full of whales.
Full of whales.
You know, luckily it's raining, so they can survive.
Sure.
Anyway, hey, before we get started,
before we get finished,
let's beg for our listeners to vote for us in a contest that doesn't matter much.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Well, let's not beg. Let's just say that if you want, you can vote for us at the straight.com.
Okay, well, why don't we say what it is first, and then we can get to the address.
Okay, what is it?
You're telling me to do this.
I'm sorry.
Plug. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, all right. The Georgia Strait is a free news. Okay, thanks. Really, helping me on that. You know what? They're not going to vote for us now because of all this business. And rightfully so.
What business?
Rightfully so. All our nonsense.
Okay.
All right. Georgia Strait.
What if it's for most nonsensical podcasts?
Okay. So anyway, Georgia Strait, which is a free local newspaper. Yeah, they still got newspapers here in Canada. We have not yet realized that's not how to do
that
things.
We should spend money for newspapers?
I guess so.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Georgia Strait is having their annual What's the Best Thing in the City? So what's your favorite taco? What's your favorite fire hydrant? Who's your favorite dog? What was your favorite cloud you saw this year?
Those all connected together in a way.
Yeah.
Because there's a taco truck outside the studios.
Yeah.
So that's what made you think of taco truck.
Sure.
And then you know there's a fire hydrant there.
Yeah.
And then you still have a dog because dogs like fire hydrants.
Okay, there. You've solved the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Da Vinci Code is yours. So
do I get the albino?
Sure you do.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's and his albinder, which is where he keeps all his albino notes.
Okay.
It's all just plain white sheets of paper.
Sure.
And he writes in white
That's
on white.
Great.
But only he can read them with his sensitive pink eyes.
Oh, of course.
Listen, if you're an albino, I'm so sorry for like making fun of you. You there. Anyway.
Even this guy's name, Melbino.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Mel.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the thing. If you go to the straight.com, because that's the internet version of it, you can vote for, among other things, your favorite podcast.
Oh.
And if you felt like it, you could vote for this one.
You know what I'm thinking is this is Sneaky Dragon is a podcast, so people could vote for us.
You know what?
That.
Don't. Just don't vote for us. That's fine.
Why?
Or here's the other option.
Here's what we're hoping.
We could also have you vote for Completely Beatles if you feel like it. We'll also be cool with that because we're both of those things.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are both our podcasts. But, by the way, if you're a Completely Beatles listener, if you're not or are, either way, here's what's happening. We only got two more episodes left of that show where we're going.
Really, we only have one more episode left.
That you know of, but like they are listening and it will not have come out yet.
That I know of?
Yes.
So there could be more that I don't know about?
To them, they will have two episodes coming out.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. 133 of these things. So anyway, clearly we're a quality podcast, right?
Practice makes perfect.
That's absolutely right. And so, we're probably just got one more of these podcasts too. Let's be honest. And then we're going to just break this up. What are we going to do? But anyway, we only got like two more of the Completely Beatles one.
Mm-hmm.
So what a nice thing to do to maybe vote for that podcast.
Yeah.
And, or this one, either way is fine. Or vote for anything else. Vote for what you like. Vote, follow your heart.
What we're asking for is that we're not tied for third place. We want to have a straight, clean third
loss.
Place. No, we want a straight.
Want a straight loss.
We want a clean.
We want to
third
not
place.
Come off the bench.
I don't want to share third place.
Oh my gosh, that is picky.
Yeah,
that is so picky.
I'm not asking for much.
Listen, we're talking about the Beatles, yeah. And you know Ringo and George tied for third place, and they were fine.
How did they tie for third place? What do you mean?
Well, then you got whoever your favorite is. They got who your second favorite is. Oh, and then okay. Third favorite, that's a tie between George and Ringo.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's how the Beatles work.
What about if George is your favorite?
No, no one's favorite is George.
He's my favorite.
No, it's not true. That's not true. They're just making up stories for people.
Ringo's my favorite.
No, he's not.
I love that
movie. Of
course
he's not.
The Japanese film with the scary ghost.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The film Ringo is on drums in the Beatles.
That's right.
Is there a film called George? There's a film called Curious George.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be fine. Is there a film called Paul?
Yes.
What is that?
Isn't that one with that alien who comes to Earth?
That's okay. Sure, there you go. And how about a film called John?
Yes.
What is that one?
It's about a bathroom that comes to Earth.
Okay, fair enough. So there we go. If you feel like voting for us, you're more than welcome to. And there you go. Here's what's going on, folks. We've just recorded our latest Completely Beatles.
Yes, we did.
Which was 97 hours. And so, once again, we're a little bit giddy. We went. We had a burger.
Yeah.
I had a
clam chowder.
And a clam chowder. Mm-hmm. I'm having kind of a little flashing light thing in the side of my eye that I'm thinking, I might get this looked at. So I'm a little bit, I got that in the side of my head right now.
Yeah.
Thinking about that. And Dave's taking us all on a merry way. But that's fair enough. That's what Dave does. Well, you know, we're just trying to get a little business done here. You know, like when you see a ventriloquist and his partner, I'm not going to say dummy. When you see his partner and the trying to sing a nice song and the puppet won't let him, but it's still entertaining.
So frustrating.
It's entertaining though.
You won't give him the glass of water.
He won't give him the glass of water. Won't
that's
do any of that business.
Yeah.
So that's kind of Dave right now. He's
totally helpful.
Well, here's the thing. Dave told me to tell you about this straight thing. I don't care, honestly. But Dave was like, push it. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to try and say it. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm getting smacked off my log. You know, I'm trying to like walk across this log and then I got this angry beaver with a tail just smacking me in the leg all the time.
Sure.
I'm like, hey, beaver, you asked me to walk across this log.
Why did the beaver ask you to walk across a log?
To get to the other side.
Oh, but why?
That's the oldest Canadian joke in the world.
Why did the beaver ask you to walk across a log?
Yeah.
I don't remember that joke.
To get to the other side. Now you got to say the same joke in French.
I wish.
It only works in French, though, unfortunately.
What is a beaver in French?
What is a beaver in French?
Yeah.
Le dame.
Le dame?
Yes.
Okay. Le dame what?
Le dame le dame.
Le dame le dame.
Yeah, it's the thing with teeth and a dam.
Is that?
Yeah.
I wonder what it actually is.
Well, you studied languages.
You carry the show for a while.
Who studied languages in university? Me or you? You.
You carry the show for a little bit for a change, and I will try and think of what a beaver is in
French. Okay, fair enough. Now, something you want to know about Dave is he went to university and he studied languages. Let me ask you, was French one of the languages?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah, good job, university. So, there you are. As well as, you know, being Canadian,
well,
we
like
had to take many, many years of French.
High school French.
I don't know who
you do a lot of plays. You do a lot of little plays in front of the class.
I don't know who said this, but it always like, you know, it made me go, oh, yeah. It's like if you took driving school in school for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, you couldn't drive a car. Yes. That would have been a stupid class to take.
Yeah.
And basically, we took all that French and like now nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You years of studying that at a time when you can actually absorb stuff in your head because your brain's young enough to absorb, and still nothing. It got nothing in there from French.
It's presented.
What a
very,
waste of time that was.
It's presented very dryly, I feel.
Ugh.
And it doesn't make the idea of speaking French appealing. Do you know what I mean? Like really, what the class should do is have either a really good-looking girl and a really good-looking guy that both only speak French, and then that's your incentive to learn.
Okay.
That's all you just because you want to talk to this girl or this guy.
Okay. Why can't you do that without school, though?
Well, because I'm just talking about in class, like your incentive to learn in class.
Right.
Like, what is your incentive when you're in high
school? What's your incentive to be that beautiful girl to have a whole bunch of
classroom
full of guys?
It's your job.
Ugh, what a horrible job that is. What was your guidance counselors from? To be
awful.
The bait? To be the French bait?
It does sound pretty terrible.
It does sound like something you do in Europe, though.
I apologize to all beautiful girls and or guys.
Okay. Well, I accept your apology.
You speak only French.
All right. Well, I accept
ton
apologie, Monsieur Dedric.
Who speak only good French.
Comme si, comme ça.
Dis donc.
Aujourd'hui.
You know what the worst part of French? Was the fact that you would get a
accent aiguës.
Yes, the accent acute was
my and accent graves.
Oh, very serious. That
and of course, as we've said before, that clown that went, pourquoi? Also, the worst part of French, but please continue.
No, the worst part was you get a textbook.
Yes.
And it would
textbooks.
And it would be called didonc. Like D-I-S, next word, D-O-N-C.
Okay.
And then nowhere in the book, and at no time in your class, and I guess you could ask if you were that interested, does anyone tell you what didonk actually means? It's some idiomatic expression. You get that, even though if you don't know what idiomatic means when you're in grade 8 or grade 9. But you know that's what it is. But when you get the book, you're like, cool, didonk. I wonder what that means. Then you look in the book.
Didonk or didonk?
Didonk, like D-O-N-C.
Okay, well, isn't there a song that goes didonk, 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 didonk? Isn't there a French song that goes like that?
Is there?
Didonk, 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 didonk.
You're not thinking of Dominique?
No. No, I'm not thinking of Dominique. No, there's something that does go didonk, 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 didonk.
Huh.
Now I want to look it up on my phone where I could look up anything like that, but I'm not going to.
But at that time, there was no Google Translate on your phone. In fact, there wasn't even a phone. If you brought your phone to school, you'd take it out of the wall.
Well, at that time,
brought it to school.
At that time, the translator I had on the phone was my mom.
Yeah?
I could call her up and ask, what does this mean? And she's French, so she could, like, tell me.
Yeah, yeah. There was a few like that, like a few years of getting books that don't give you like a clue to what it means. And I think that's strange. Like the first thing it should say in the book is, you know, welcome to this book. The title means this. Bob's your uncle, or whatever the English equivalent is of that idiom.
Well, listen, you had an adult in that room that could have
told
you.
I know you could have asked the teacher, but how often did you ask your teacher questions? Well, I was terrible at that, actually, but how often did you ask your teacher questions in class about things that you should know?
Oh, I didn't want any trouble.
Exactly. You don't want to ask that question. It could either A,
you might learn something,
draw attention to you.
Ugh.
Or, you know, and get yourself involved in some long, long drawn out conversation about didonk.
What if your teacher was beautiful in your scenario? Could that have been the beautiful person that made you want to learn French?
That would have been mortifying.
Oh, yeah, multiplication.
I don't think I'd have taken it.
Oh,
I was
Paul Dave with a multiplication.
It's probably getter. It's probably better to have.
It's probably getter.
Probably getter to have my wife. Well, get my wife in to explain what torment it was to have me as a fellow classmate at university. Because one of the problems we took anthropology together, my wife and I.
Right.
And we had a teacher. He was probably the most boring teacher that I've ever had. Mm-hmm. His
name was Indiana Jones.
His name wasn't Indiana Jones. I can't tell you what we called him because that would use his name. But anyway, I said anthropology. You thought archaeology, right? Because you said Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay. What is anthropology again?
Anthropology is the study of people.
You know what? I think Indiana Jones would have also studied anthropology as well. I'm going to say that as well.
Okay.
I'm thinking he could have double majored.
Sure. Yeah, he could have. But I think he double majored in kissing beautiful ladies.
Underage girls.
He did not kiss underage girls.
We have established that he did, sir. We have established, sir.
We established
Please,
that
the continuity of
asshole.
This podcast.
That is a weird thing.
I refer you, sir, to a past episode, sir.
Yes, and you were right. I had to mea culpa many times. In this class, this teacher, what he would do when he started the class, like when you walked, like you didn't even know who this guy was. You walk in, you're like, okay, we're going to learn some anthropology. We're going to learn about people. This sounds interesting. Tribes around the world and interesting things. And then he proceeded to read the textbook to you every day for an hour.
Okay. Ben Stein style.
Is that what Ben Stein does?
Well, I'm just like, you know what Ben Stein sounds like, right?
He was a little like that. He was a kind of a dry. It wasn't like exciting. It wasn't like he was reading it in a fun way.
Right.
It was very dry and very dull. The problem was, is there was this guy in the class.
Trying to flirt with a girl, and that was you.
What he would do, what this guy would do every class, like when break time came for us.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you guys can go get, you know, have a drink of water, or go to the bathroom, whatever like that. And then he would say, does anyone have any questions? And this guy would annoyingly ask a question just at that moment.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't get our break because he would spend... It was just a simple question. It was like basically a yes or no question.
Yeah.
That anyone on earth could answer with a yes or no. But this teacher was unable to use the words yes or no. And so he would give you this incredibly long, complicated answer that would take up the entire break time and so that no one would get a break.
Hmm.
And
was this fellow like worried about his weight and he was worried he was going to snack and the only way he could avoid going to the old snack machine and get a Super Socko and a Rice Krispie Square
was to
ask a question?
That wasn't it at all.
Saving his figure?
That wasn't it at all.
Okay.
Because the problem was this person was me. I did this every time.
Did you?
Yeah, I couldn't help it because he would ask if he had a question and I would have a question.
Oh,
and I didn't learn my lesson. I didn't learn that don't ask a question because this guy's going to take 4 years to answer it. And so what I would do is, and the first time it happened to me, actually, I was taking a night course with him. And at that time, the buses came on the hour. So I had to catch my bus at 10 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would have to wait till 11 to catch the next bus.
All
and class ended at 10. So I would leave a little early to get on my bus. So around quarter two or so, he asked, does anyone have any questions? And I put up my hand, of course. I said, well, I was wondering about blah, blah, blah. And so then he started into his interminably long answer to my yes or no question. And I left because I had to catch the bus.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you're taking a little while. Okay, that's it. I gotta go. I can't stay. So I just, in the middle of his long answer, I walked out the door. And someone told me the next day when I came to class next week, they're like, oh man, he was choked that you left. And you just walked out. I was like, I couldn't help it. I had to catch the bus. And, you know, it was a yes or no question that he took 4 years to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So screw that guy. Screw him all around. But
Wait a second.
Can't imagine.
Let me ask you this question.
Sure.
Did then the rest of the students who were also going to miss the bus stay? And just the one jerk who asked it, he bailed early.
That's the problem.
And they're all catching the 11 o'clock.
That's the problem.
Talking about old Davy Dedrick.
That's the problem. I'm sure most of them drove. But the problem was, because I couldn't drive at that time. The problem was, I couldn't learn the lesson. Like, I don't know why. Like, looking back on it now, I must have been like the most annoying. I know I was the most annoying person.
Right.
To have a, cause it's just like, people must have been like every class. They're like, when the teacher said, does anyone have any questions? Everyone was just like, silently.
Shut up, Dedrick.
Don't say a word. Shut up. And then I'd be like, yeah, I just wanted to know. Oh, fuck. You idiot. You've done it again. Every time. Every time. I even know Elisa Wan was interested in me, besides the fact that I'm super handsome and pleasant. But, you know. But other than that, being a total idiot in class, like, you think she just would have learned her lesson? Like, okay, this guy, you know, I find him attractive, but fuck him. What a loser.
Well, you know what? I mean, here's the thing. I think the guy, that's his fault. Okay. Well, this whole break situation that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You get a break after the question.
Yeah.
That's not your fault that it was break time
that's
and you
true.
Didn't think. Then, like, well, we're done with the question. Now have your 15-minute break.
Yeah.
Now. That's how that works.
That's true. My 15-minute answer. Let's have a 15-minute break.
Yeah. It's his fault. Like, you owe the kids a break. So that's not your problem.
No,
now, you walking out in the middle of class, that's a bit of a dick move.
Well, I could help it.
Yes, you could. You've established that you could help it. You would just have to because
I don't want to wait an hour for the next bus.
Tough luck.
No.
You asked the question, Jack. No. Nope. You knew the situation. And so hard cheese, Mr.
This
Mouse.
This was very early on. I didn't realize at that time how long it would take.
Oh, okay. You didn't realize buses ran.
No, I knew the buses. I knew the buses ran, but
you were scared of the dark.
No, I wasn't scared of the dark. It's just I didn't want to hang around. Like, what a bore!
Right. So that's you. That's you being the jerk. Then
I'm not being a jerk.
Yes, you're being a jerk. You had the choice of like being polite or being rude, and your price for being polite would have been your boredom. And you went, you know what? It's more important for me not to be bored than it is for me to be polite. So long, chump. And off you went. But then, like, how old were you at the time?
I blame him. 19, probably.
Yeah, that's a dick age. Don't worry about it.
It's a dick age.
I mean, that's the age where it's all about you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about it.
I'm still at that age.
I don't think so.
I'm like a teenager.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Forever young.
Ugh.
That's what I call
myself. Imagine that.
Pimples and my total lack of maturity.
Right.
Doing me a... It's like
and always constantly...
A Dorian Gray.
And when you see your daughters who are in their late teens, you go, who are you? And they're really scared because you must have had them when you were one.
That's right.
Yeah, you're terrified by them.
Yeah.
Like, what's this about?
Mm-hmm. And well, there's a portrait in my attic.
Yeah.
And in that portrait, I'm a father.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Sure. And there's a portrait of that teacher, and he's not sad.
He's nice. He's there beside me.
Right.
There's a picture of both of us together, his arms around my shoulders.
So what?
Let me tell you another long answer.
What languages did you study?
In university, I studied French, German, right. Italian, Spanish, and Latin.
Wow.
Yes. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
Did they help each other in the languages, learning multiple languages
No, you really had to keep a close watch. You know, you had to kind of keep a little barrier between each one, particularly the Romance languages, mm-hmm. French, Spanish, and Italian, because those tend to have some words, not all words, but some words, there's a little bit of overlap.
I kind of look at like someone like an Eddie Izzard, who like, you know, he's saying like once he learned one language, it really helped him, and learning another language really helped him, and learning another language and moving on from there. And like now he can do stand-up in multiple languages. I don't know how good he is at conversational. But he knows his act.
Well, if he can do an act, I'm sure. If he knows an act well enough to be idiomatic, like as a stand-up, that's pretty impressive. Because one thing that kind of disappointed me as a student of languages was I started to realize that I would never be as good at the language as I am at English. That I would never have like a deep understanding of the language. Mm. You know, like I can, you know, in English, I can say, you know, jokingly, I can say 23 skidoo daddy-o and snap my fingers, and I know exactly what I'm referencing.
Right.
And I pick, and I can, you know, and if someone else did that to me too, I would know exactly what they're referencing, and I would get this really deep, you know, old reference, and I would understand where that they saw it in Popeye.
Culturally,
and then the repeat, you know, we'd be a similar age, and you know what I mean? And, but if I went to Italy, there would be this whole deep part of their lives that I would not have any understanding of. The children's shows they grew up on,
right.
the culture, their parents' culture that informed them. Like, and that really kind of almost, it kind of put me off it in a way. And when I realized that I would never be able to like live in those places, that's not the way my life was heading in that direction. That
Would you have wanted to?
Yeah, well, I would have loved to lived in France, for sure.
Okay.
That was always something I wanted to do.
But you thought that was just impossible?
Not that I thought it was impossible, but just that my life took a turn.
Oh, it did, but it wasn't because of your education.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was just, you know, things happen, cancer, kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That kind of derailed whatever plan, whatever tentative plans that I had. Plus, I'm not very good at planning, so that's always difficult. If you're not good at planning, it's hard to do things that mm-hmm. involve planning.
I mean, you wouldn't get the you know, I mean, over time you'd get the culture of France, I would think.
I mean, they wear their
culture on their sleeve. You know, it's not
hidden. To a degree, but I think still there's the idioms and some of those, you know, would be lost. And you'd have to go. I mean, you could go back and look. I was reading Jules Jourdain. It's a bande dessinée about he's a 1950s sort of private eye mm-hmm. Called Jules Jourdain by Maurice Thieu and. One of the books is called Sir Boom to Quatre-Roux, I think it's called. And basically, Sir Boom is like this long lost word, which was 1950s French for surprise party. So it's like surprise party for four wheels. It's basically because these cars are get gasoline that causes them to explode. So hence the surprise. And so, you know, but you're reading the book and you don't know what surboom means. And if you didn't grow up in France, if you didn't have parents who might have used that or grown up in a culture that kind of used it jokingly as a sort of antiquated, like if we said something was hep, you know
right.
what I mean? If we describe something as hep, we're being ironic in our praise. We're not being serious by referring to something as hep because hep is a term that no longer is used. Mm-hmm. So, you know, or if you, like I say, if you said it was 23 skidoo or whatever, you know, these are old terms that we know, but we just know them because it's sort of filtered down to us through various right. old
now
influences.
Now it means hepatitis, yeah.
23 skidoo or hep?
Hep.
Okay.
Yeah. No, if you got 23 skidoo,
that's polio.
That's a serious bowel, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's going to last 23 days mm-hmm. of serious skidoos.
Serious skidoo.
Yep.
It's skidoont.
Yeah, but like if you say, you speak English, obviously. You've been speaking it on the podcast for many episodes.
Been faking
but
it.
But like if you, say, move to New York,
yeah.
you would not have the cult, like you'd know generally, but you would not have the deep cultural richness of like, you would not have known the kids shows in the morning. You would not have listened to the Howard Stern show every day.
Well, you say that, but I would know who Soupy Sales was. I would know. There's things I would know because I read Mad Magazine.
Yeah, that's the big ones. Yeah, but
you
wouldn't
I mean?
Know the deeper.
No,
you know, you wouldn't know
true.
Where what's in Central Park, but not the touristy part. What's
yeah.
the this and what's the boroughs and this is known for the this and then for that.
I mean, it depends, and I mean those things are learnable in a way, but
and aren't the France ones as well?
I think if you once you're immersed in the culture, I mean it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how deep it would be, but yeah, I guess you're right in a way, but I think. It's easier.
That's as good as it gets for me, by the way. Ian, you're right in the way. That's as good as it's ever gotten on this podcast.
I just think it's easier for us as English speakers because I'm reading Tales of Beatnik Glory by Ed Sanders, which is.
Let's say you are.
This very detailed book about the early 60s in New York, in the Lower East Side. And so I can read about that. And I'm reading about it, but I'm also bringing in other things I know about, you know, the Hootenannies and the history of Bob Dylan and, you know, other, you know, my understanding of the Broadway of that time and New York City and the history of it. It's all kind of working towards my understanding of this book that I'm reading.
Right.
If I was reading a similar book about, say, a similar area of France, I was reading about Montmartre and
right.
the you know, Moulin Rouge and stuff like that.
Which, of course, I mean, when you're saying you're reading a book,
yeah.
you would read a lot of books. Like, I mean,
sure.
France likes to write about itself.
Sure, but
I'm
just saying I read one book about the 1960s
yeah,
and
okay.
Tales of Beatnik Glory. But I'm applying all this other knowledge
from
to
things
it.
You've read in the past in other
That's
books.
That's right, or
yeah.
movies that I've seen, or,
right.
you know. And so then when I'm if I was doing this in a French situation, I could apply some of my knowledge to it, but I wouldn't have as deep a knowledge. So, I mean, yeah, it's possible I could learn it, but I always felt like I would never know it super well, particularly if I didn't live there. Mm-hmm. If you live there for a while, yes, you would pick it up over time. You would pick it up, particularly if you wanted to. I mean, if you want to, you can learn whatever you want, obviously, but just being here and not being there, it's much harder to learn the idioms and things. I found a great book when I was younger at Value Village, and I picked it up because it had illustrations in it by Michael Heath, who was a cartoonist in Private Eye, the British satirical magazine. And it was called French You Won't Learn at School, or some kind of name like that.
Okay.
And it's just full of
a book
like,
full of German words.
It's right, yes. In a good French school.
Those satirists, boy, they got me with that one.
You will not learn those words. But, he just did the illustrations. It was written by a woman. And it was just full of...
A woman?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
See, there's a cultural difference. You wouldn't get that in North America.
No, women don't write books. Not ones worth reading. Am I right, guys? This is crickets.
Once again, Georgia Strait, favorite podcast, straight.com. Just vote.
Vote away.
You know, guys, you've had the vote since early to 1900s, so why not?
Women were only able to vote for the Georgia Strait poll in starting in the 1970s.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you are.
All the suffragettes.
I was trying to think when women got the vote in Canada. I can only think like 20. I know it was before the Americans in 1920, but I can't remember when women got the vote in Canada.
I think it was before World War One, wasn't it?
I don't know much before. I don't know.
We can't boast.
We always do this one. We always do this as Canadians. It's like, hey, who got into World War II first? Well, that's right. It was Canada. Hey, who gave the women a vote first? Yes, you betcha, buddy. How do you like that gay marriage? Yeah, we got that one in there before you did it, buddy. You know, a lot of that stuff. We get on our very like tiny, tiny high horse. A horse with very small legs.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And say we did things that we should have done like many years before.
Well, to be fair, Trudeau ended the illegality of homosexuality as well before.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that was in the 60s as well. That should have been done in the 40s
absolutely,
or even earlier.
Absolutely,
should have been done when people realized it was a problem.
That's right. That is a tiny, tiny high horse.
I was listening to a radio
show. Let a baby ride on it. Won't fall. It won't get hurt when it falls off.
I was listening to this radio show about these poor. It was men. The poor men who were civil servants in the 50s. They're gay, and most of them were let go because. The government was worried that their homosexuality left them open to blackmail, which would be vulnerable to communists, blah, blah, blah. And you're listening to it and you're thinking, gee, what could they have done to stop that from being a problem instead of firing them?
Dave, I know what.
What?
Defeat communism.
I guess that's the only way.
That's the easiest way around
that
problem.
That whole problem. It only take you 30 more years. Yeah, so it was just like you felt so sorry for these people in this terrible situation. I mean, you understood the thinking behind it, like this left them vulnerable because they're doing this illegal activity. But here's an idea. Make the activity not illegal.
Right.
Solved.
But would the church have allowed
Solved.
That then? Like, who was the ones especially going like...
I don't think
like,
the church had that much power in Canada, to be honest
but
with
who
you.
But who were the ones...
Maybe
that,
in Quebec, obviously, but
who
I don't
were
think
the ones
the
that were the most ugh about that at the time?
Well, I think everybody.
Yeah, it's just the thing. It's like
everybody was. Like, I don't think it was one person.
But there's a difference. It's like who were the ones like for the most part in Canada. You know, anything new is going to be. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But once you go, like, what's your argument against it?
Yeah.
Like, what do you say then?
Yeah.
Just like, well, it's not natural, or it's not this, or it's mm-hmm. not that. Whatever your argument is.
Yeah.
I mean, that gets squashed pretty fast.
Sure.
You know, especially if you're like, you know, they could be blackmailed and this kind of stuff. Oh well, then forget it. Who cares? Then make it not. It's not no skin off my nose. Are they worried that what are they worried about, you know? Yeah. I mean, what's going on?
Well, no, of course it's reasonable is fine, but I mean you're not arguing against
the
reason.
New
yeah.
It's the new.
It's not even the new, it's just it's the odd, it's the different, it's
yeah,
it's something strange about it. And I mean, most people had relatives of some sort who were gay.
Yeah, my uncle was gay, right? And so, like, you know, he was with his, you know, boyfriend for so long, for decades.
Yeah.
You know, and not able to come out of the closet. But here's the thing.
Did you know he was gay?
Did I know he was gay? You know, I didn't know him that well, but let me tell you who knew he was gay.
Yeah.
Everyone knew he was gay. And let me tell you who cared that he was gay.
Yeah.
No one cared that was gay. Yeah. Like the whole city, like, and it's, he, you know, this was in New Brunswick mm-hmm. and it was a pretty religious kind
sure.
of community.
That's
but
awesome.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, if you were, So like who? That's the thing to me is just like
yeah.
you know, it's not an issue that people are getting their hackles up about.
It's, you know, it's what the hardest thing to fight against is a power base. Do you know what I mean? So if part of your power base is fear of difference, fear of
yeah.
things that are different, then those are hard things to change.
But the thing that beats that is then actually knowing someone, being hurt by that power, and then that changes it, and it puts a human face on it, and there you go. And I think there was enough families that had the human face that, you would think. You would think, but they don't know that it can change. Maybe the whole concept, you know, is such. I mean, it used to be like a, you know.
It's always been that way.
Well, but it's the same thing about interracial marriage as well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't till it was. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, of course it is. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's easy to the reason I think, we've had this discussion before where it's like, how can you judge people in the past? And the only reason I think that it's okay to kind of go, oh, that's kind of a shameful past, is to look at the present then and go like, oh, wait a second, what am I doing now? Because there's clearly something going on now that I'm not even noticing, that in the future, they're going to look back and go, hey, you guys, why did you let all those homeless people like be on the street asking for money when they were clearly hungry? How were there people that were hungry on the street? Yeah. How did you allow that shit to happen? I'm like, oh, geez, I didn't even think about it. You didn't think about it. You walk by him every day. How'd you feel? What do you think? And like, I guess we didn't know. It was a different time. Hey, get off my back. You know? And that's the now. There's some stuff that's the now.
To be fair to us, there are lots of places for the poor to go and eat. Sometimes when they're asking for money, it's not always just for food.
Right. So. Okay. Then it would be, all right, let me switch it to this one. You know, how come there's people out there with schizophrenia on the street?
Yes,
and
you're
so proud of your healthcare system, mm-hmm. and they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
How do you justify that? Says my grandchild in the future.
Sure.
And I go, listen, shut up.
Because it saved them money.
Help grandpa with his laser pants.
I don't know. I don't want to get into the debate about that. There are
laser
reasons.
Pants.
There are reasons. Yeah, I don't want to get into the laser pant debate. It's very shocking. I'm not ready for it yet.
No, they're thinking the electro pants.
I am not.
They're the shocking
that's
ones.
That's the shocking ones.
Well, that's how you know when you've peed yourself is the electro pants go off, and it really helps in the future the old people to know when they've gone.
The thing, I'll agree with you to this extent
with
people in the past, is I find it hard to be a chronological chauvinist. And mm-hmm. condemn people, but where I think you can condemn them is when the right thing is presented and then they resist it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you live in a world where blacks are slaves,
mm-hmm.
but then people start saying, should people be slaves to us?
Okay,
is that fair? And then when you hear that argument, you know, if it's just accepted norm and no one ever questions it,
right?
Well, then you can understand why. No one questions it because you live in this place where this is just the normal thing.
Right.
But when people start to argue against it and present arguments against it, you know, about someone's humanity, whether it's, you know, slaves or gays or whatever,
mm-hmm.
when you're resisting at that point, then I think that that's where you're wrong.
Well, here's where I think it's really wrong. It's like, and I can even go a closer example of like, say the Japanese internment camps or like here at the PNE in World War II.
Okay.
So, okay, you've got, you know, fear of the Japanese.
Yeah.
And so they take their houses. Yeah. And like, the thing about that is it's profitable. And that's the same thing with slavery.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Was like, you know, you're doing this thing that's bad, but also because it's profitable.
Yeah.
It's not like the thing about gay marriage. You know, if you're talking about, no one gets any financial benefit from restricting someone's rights. In fact, you're denying yourself money, you know, with like gay weddings and whatever. It's a stupid financial move to be doing. So I think you can really go like, hey, screw you. If like, you know, what influenced your decision to make this bad choice was, you know, I just make more money if I have a slave. I make more money if they're in turn. Mm-hmm. I get that. And we get those houses, they get all their stuff. You know, that's where it's really... You know what? You got no leg at all to stand. Oh, I understand. Chris, I understand. Terrible. I understand fear. I understand fear of change. It's not justifiable. But when you add,
that's what I meant when
greed
I said,
and selfishness to it.
But that's then, what I meant when I said it's about power, right? If homosexuals in the government
mm-hmm.
being vulnerable to
blackmail.
To blackmail That gives you a club that you can carry around and hit people with.
Right.
You know, and so that's more important to you than... Because, you know, let's face it. One of the important things to realize is that, one, people in government are assholes.
Why is that?
Just that's who they are.
Why?
Because everything they do is assholish. I don't know if you notice that.
Why is that?
And the other thing is...
Oh, totally disagree with that, but go ahead.
Well, name one who isn't.
Let me tell you my problem with that.
Okay.
It's the that's the Will Rogers school, which is like you...
Who's Will Rogers?
Will Rogers?
You mean from a long time ago, cowboy comedian?
Okay. Yeah, comedian, okay. First Nations man. He used to like make fun of both sides.
Yeah.
Okay? Equally. And then he always make fun of... And then my problem with when you tar all the politicians with the same brush,
sure.
you let the ones that are bad get away with it. because you're not tarring them specifically. The guy who's actually trying and trying to work the system in the right way.
I don't think he is. So that's why I said that.
Okay, well then let me tell you, there's someone who is the shittier of the shittiest.
Sure.
And you're letting King Shittington, you know, you're letting him completely off because again, it's like when I was a kid and there was one bad kid in the lineup full of boys and we're all like held back after school.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well be a shithead now because I'm going to get fucking like tarred with the same brush as this douchebag.
Yeah.
So fuck y'all. You know, so lesson learned. Thanks. I understand you think all boys are jerks.
That does explain your behavior.
Exactly.
But
and my horrible language.
King Shit of Shittington. That riding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in BC? Shittington? I thought that was near Edmonton, actually. And the other thing is that the desire to govern is a form of mental illness. So,
because democracy just doesn't work.
No, no, democracy is a great thing because
if someone gets elected,
it's the best that we have. The best that we have.
So if someone gets elected, then they're a bad person.
I know, it's an unfortunate part of it.
It is not at all.
It's an unfortunate part of the system. It's kind of its Achilles heel is that it's unavoidable that you're going to elect an asshole to rule over you.
Right.
And the reason he wants to rule over is because he loves to rule over people and boss people around.
Sure.
Whether it's for your good or bad.
Uh huh.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember telling you when I came back from England one time, back to England one time, and the train strike was on, and we had met some people on the train, and we met this little bossy, busybody fellow.
Okay.
And
By the way, this sounds like a story a politician would tell.
Hmm?
It does, because all the politicians tell a story like this. I was on a train the other day, and this young man came up to me, and he was a bit of a busybody, and what he said to me was something that really cements what I already believe and doesn't sound like a real story at all.
No,
but let me tell you, it's this, and it's going to get some applause.
Let me finish the story. Then
his name was Frank Strawman, and what he said to me was this. Sir, is it possible for good government to survive in this economy? And I said, sir, I believe it is.
Let me finish my story.
Okay.
So now
you're on a train.
I thought this person was okay. There were some Australian girls on the train with us, and I quite liked them. They were very funny. This guy was okay. He was a humorless sort of a fellow, but he was very busy.
Okay.
When we got to England, there was a train strike on. There was no way for us to get home. We were stuck in Dover. There was absolutely no way for us to get out of Dover to where we wanted to go, except by glomming onto this busybody. He talked a bus driver going to a completely different city to drop us off at an earlier city.
Okay.
And by glomming onto him, we were able to take advantage of this.
Right.
In every other way, I wouldn't have wanted to know this person at all. I would have avoided him in every other situation.
Right.
But this situation, I had to ride his coattails because he was just a sort of bossy guy who was going to get something done. And that's fine. I just don't want to know that person.
Okay.
And I just feel like I bet you now, I don't know where he is, but he's probably a counselor in the city of, was it Leicester that he went to? I can't remember what city it was now. Maybe it was Nottingham. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We got a lot of somewhere that was great.
Right.
That let us take a bus back to where we were living at England at the time. You know, and it took us like, we got into Dover at 6:30 in the morning. We got home about 4:30 in the afternoon, but we got home. That's the important thing.
That's the important thing.
The rail strike was on. And the important thing was that I recognized this person as an invidious scourge upon humanity, but I needed to, you know, be there to take advantage of it, you know. Because in every other way, you wouldn't want to know a person who's pushy that way and bossy.
Uh-huh.
Would you? Is that pleasant to hang around with?
I don't know.
I don't think it is, to be honest with you. It's not it's a situation that I would be tense all the time knowing a person like that.
Okay. Let me tell you a story, Dave.
Was this a story about your train ride?
I was on a train.
Okay.
And that train...
This sounds an awful lot like my story.
That was a train called the Peace Train.
How come I didn't get any applause for my story, by the way?
What's that?
I thought I deserved some applause.
No, you got a lot of applause.
Oh, okay.
Did you not hear that?
I guess
you must have been talking over it.
I must have been talking over it.
Lesson learned.
Never talk over
it. Wait for your applause break.
I should have watched the sign.
Okay. I used to write on a show called Street Sense.
Mm-hmm.
And Street Sense was a show that the idea was it was for tough consumers.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, learn about, you know, advertising and,
sure.
and part of it was like running your own business. We did an episode about running your own business.
Okay.
Okay. So it was like youth all entrepreneurs. And so we had a segment on kids who had started their own business and do all this kind of stuff. And then later on in the show, we did a joke about something and the punchline was about a boss.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, what has this boss done to deserve this punchline? And I'm saying to them, oh, you know, they're just a boss. And I'm like, okay, well, in one part of the show, we're saying you should start your own business.
Yeah.
But if you do start your own business, that means you're the boss. And if you're a boss, even us, the show that's saying start your own business,
yeah.
saying now you're a dick because you're a boss. And yeah. we think like bosses, that's Mr. Slate. He's
yeah.
a dick.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. And so,
Mr.
you know,
Slate.
I'm trying to think of Mr. Mooney. I can't think of any, like, that guy on the Drew Carey show. He's a jerk. You know, so bosses are jerks. You know, so you just like, oh, my boss.
He got his own talk show, that guy, that boss.
Yeah, he's fine. Like, he's a funny stand-up as well. He used to be Bing Hitler in a punk band as well. So I think the problem with that is the same problem with this is, like, you know, when you're that cynical about it and just go, like, if you're a boss or a politician, then you're a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, then why not be a jerk?
I am, you know? I am cynical. I'll admit that.
Oh, but what does that get done? Exactly. That's the point. It gets nothing done. You know, so you're setting yourself up for, you know, it's, you know, you see what I'm saying with this, right?
Oh, no, I know exactly what you're saying. I know the weaknesses of my opinions, but that doesn't make it wrong.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
If you know the weaknesses that you've got a sliding you got a bell curve.
It's the
worst and the best.
Sure.
And you're calling them all the same thing.
Yeah.
Then the only person that gets hurt with that is the best person and the people.
There is no best person.
Yes, there is. Of course, there is.
There's no best person.
Have you had multiple bosses in your life?
Yes.
And has there been a best boss and a worst boss, or were they all consistent?
They are consistently.
Really?
The same.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So really?
Yeah.
There's all been consistent.
Yeah. Why, did you have like a great, strange. Have you had like a great
yes,
boss?
Yes, I've had a shitty boss who at the comic book store,
yeah.
you know, said to me, hey, if there's any mums show up, send them over next door to me. I want to talk to them because he was starting a cult. Yeah, that guy was a bit worse than when I worked at the toy store.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, see if you can push the Stife toys because we over-ordered them.
Yeah.
Yeah, of those two guys, the guy trying to start the cult was the worst. Yes, that's bad.
Okay.
Yes.
And but they're both equally dickish.
No, they're not equally dickish because the one guy is trying to sell something to people that they want that's a quality piece of merchandise and he's running his own business. And the other guy's trying to start a cult and con people into following him as their fucking leader. Of course, if you think both of them are the same, that's a goddamn problem.
They sound the same.
Then don't be a police officer. Because, you know, what are you, a murderer or a jaywalker? Or wait, you're probably going to be a jaywalker anyway. I'm just going to arrest all of you, put you all into jail because you're all bad. The end. And by the way, don't be a teacher either, because holy cow, then, you know, everyone's bad because you kids are jerks and y'all got so boo on that. Folks, you know I'm right on this one, right? There's no two way. Okay, there you go.
As I said, all politicians are assholes. I can't remember where we're going with it. But anyway, it's because it's about, for them, it's about power, right? So
is it?
The idea of giving up something is a hard thing to do.
Do you think it is that's why people get into it?
Oh yeah.
Bull. I think some people do, but it's like
many.
Power. I've heard people say this about police officers too, you know. They're all like bullies, they're all this, but I know some people who are police officers, you know, who got into it because they just wanted to make things better in their neighborhood.
Sure.
And I can see how some get corrupted and I can see how some could feed into that bully type thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine, but people will tell you all cops are fill in the blank. And I think that's just as cynical and useless as saying that thing about politicians, because some people go into politics hoping to make a difference because, like, say they've got the situation right now. There's a teacher's strike.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's a bad situation. Sure. And I'm sure some people are going, what can I do? I can do nothing. And there's at least one person out there right now, I'm sure, who's going, if I got into politics, if I got into this, maybe I could make a difference in this and stop this nonsense. Yeah. And of course, once they become in any position of power, maybe they'll get corrupted, maybe they won't. But if you're saying once they get into a position of power, they're a jerk.
Yeah.
Oof, who wants to do that? And so the jerks stay up there and then we all suffer for it.
Well, that's true to a degree. But the problem is once the person with the good intentions enters into it, they become a twisted mess as well.
So you're saying just the whole system is so corrupt that no one can go in.
Oh, yeah.
So should no one go into it?
No.
Who's not twisted and corrupt?
Of course you should go into it.
Why should you? You're going to be a jerk.
Do your best.
Why? It doesn't matter. You're going to be calling them a jerk.
You're right. It really doesn't matter.
Well, there you go.
The system is so
hugely
corrupt that it's,
well, I don't know.
Maybe you're right. So why should they go into it?
So give up.
It is a problem.
See, it all leads to give up. You know, this is the problem with the cynical thing. Is like, it all leads to what? Then it all leads to bend over and take it.
Well, no, it... I wouldn't say that. I mean, because I guess because I trust people, but not institutions.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But so, people are institutions.
Not really.
They were institutions start with
that's
people.
Like saying that's like saying corporations are people.
Corporations at the start are people, and then they grow to not be people.
They grow to
but
not
they
be people.
Start but so with people, and at right? one point, yeah, and at yeah. one point they become an institution and become their own thing. Sure. But because they started as people, the only thing that can change them is people.
Sure. But let's take something like the Catholic Church. Like, I think we could all agree that there are individual Catholic priests doing right things and working very hard for the people around them and the situations where they find themselves.
Okay.
But as an institution, the Catholic Church, it can be very oppressive.
Yeah.
And a gigantic bureaucracy that just tends to roll over everything in its path.
Right. It has, okay. Yes. That
and
is
so,
true.
You know, you have the institution.
So are you saying all priests are corrupt?
No.
Okay. So what are you saying with the Catholic Church then?
Well, the Catholic Church, yeah, as an institution, is a corrupt.
Okay, so let's look at two things then. Let's look sure. at the Pope then.
Yeah.
Now you've got a current Pope who most people would be saying, if you're just looking at the surface,
he's very Twitter savvy.
Right, he's very Twitter savvy, but he seems to be doing things that sure. seem Christ-like. It seems like, you know, he's doing his best. Yeah.
It's very admirable what he's done so far.
You think it's admirable? Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, what's the point? You're just a corrupt son of a bitch anyway.
Well, it's true. No, I mean, you're right in
some
a way.
Some people say that.
They're
just like, it's all the institution's so screwed up that I don't care if you're going out and you're actually feeding the poor. I don't care if you're going to that guy mm-hmm. who's disfigured and you're telling him that he's loved by Jesus. Yeah. But you know what? Of course that matters. Of course that matters. That means the world to that guy.
Those are individual acts that you're describing.
And that's what matters.
Not institutional acts.
But that's the thing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I trust individuals, but not institutions.
Right, but he's the head of an institution.
Sure.
And representing that institution when he's talking to that one guy.
So he's simultaneously representing an organization that has systematically allowed pedophilia to continue unchecked for the last century, and also doing good things.
And we
One is not him. It's not his actions or his inactions. One is just a gigantic, enormous body of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this corrupt, hidebound, unable to move mass of bureaucratic, you know, whatever it is. Which is kind of like what government is as well.
Well, I'm sure
government is a ginormous, hidebound, unable to move. The things that happen in government almost happen with despite government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in Canada we have a healthcare act that was brought in pretty much by the actions of one person who took the time and trouble to force this down
gay
Canadian
marriage
throat.
As well as he's leaving this is the thing boom and it's that
and or legalizing homosexuality. I mean, that was one person's decision to do that. It wasn't an act of parliament.
Right.
It wasn't argued in incessantly and spend 5 years, of people nattering back and forth about it and writing newspaper articles. It was one person's stroke of the pen that changed that.
Do you think their attitude towards themselves is, I'm part of government, there's nothing really I can do, ugh, what's the point? Or do they think, I can make a difference?
Well, I think they think that I can make a difference. No, that's a good example because Trudeau is an example of someone who started off with, I think, very good intentions and an admirable idea of what Canada could be. But I think if you watch his career, you can see near the end of it, he's very cynical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his actions, even if they're for the good of Canada, are done in with such a cynical, almost careless way that it was hard for most Canadians to stomach what he was doing.
Do you think that our expectations of politicians then are too high, that we think of them as wizards who are going to go in and just change things magically?
I think that's for sure.
I mean, I think in the States with Obama, that was the case, where it was like, you know...
Magical healing.
That everything's going to be like all right now. And I think there have been, like, if you look at the difference between then and now, you know, it is like, holy shit, when you actually line up all the things, like, that's an impressive amount of things. But I think why the cynicism kind of bothers me is there's always that. Mm-hmm. And there will always be someone who will just go, yeah, but, you know, look at he did this and blah, 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 as well. And so, like, in the land of can't win, you know, that can break down a person eventually, you know,
That's why you counter it with the reality that it's an individual choice that makes those differences in your lives,
mm-hmm.
not what the government does or doesn't do to you.
Do you think that he, as president, acts as an individual at times, or is he always just the government?
Well, I mean, what I mean, what has he done that's been so amazing? That's a question.
Like, I can give you a okay, list. I don't have it like on me right now.
Okay.
But there is, you know,
I'm curious.
The first thing was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act for women. That was like the first thing that he came in with.
Okay.
And it was something that it should have been, and it was. And I can, you know,
he signed that into law.
Yes, he's trying. You know, now with the healthcare thing to have, you know, people, you know, not, and you know, to have people, you know, not be refused for pre-existing conditions. Basically, the American healthcare system sucks. People, I know people that hate the new one, like just people I know that hate, you know, being under Obamacare right now. But in general, I think like that is a step in the right direction.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he's following up on like ending wars. That's like, that's a thing. More soldiers are not being sent over, you know, so there's that. I probably could
didn't Iraq just blow up again, though? And just start.
Yeah. Now it's a discussion whether America should get involved or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I think that's interesting. I mean, we can take from more historical, an admirable action by a person I think was not an admirable person, which is Lyndon Johnson signing in the Equal Rights Act.
Sure.
And it's saying, as he signed it, you know, this has destroyed the Democratic Party in the South for 50 years. And he knew when he signed that act that he was betraying his own party's interests in a way, in terms of its power base. But he still did it.
Yeah, and George Bush did some great stuff with AIDS in Africa and supplying, you know.
He did that after he was president, but okay.
Yeah, that's what, no, I mean that. Like, for all people who are like, George W. Bush, you know, real son of a bitch. I gotcha, and there's enough reasons to think that, but you know, the impact
after he feathered his nest, he went and did some nice things.
Absolutely. Well, it's nice as in like, but the impact of that, because that's the kind of disease that grows.
Yeah.
It has not grown in that way. And like the amount of lives that he saved are amazing.
It actually doesn't grow. It actually seems to plateau.
Is it but had it plateaued in Africa?
It's just so endemic there that it's hard. But I think it's around 30% in most of Africa.
Okay.
And that seems to be where it's been. For the last,
I was getting into a debate actually with someone the other day about Bill Gates, and they were like, "Well, that guy's a son of a bitch because he stole this and that from And it was like, he is really making big moves on polio right now. There's a lot of, you know, if let's say you actually completely eliminate polio from the world, do you get to have stolen Mac's interface? Is that okay? Like, can we trade? Nah, he's still a son of a bitch.
I guess.
Like, okay, fine.
Well, I mean, that's true in a way. I mean, there's other ways to talk. I mean, he put lots of companies out of business by unfair.
True.
You know, by unfair practices as
that's
a business.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he did a lot of assholish things to get the millions of dollars that he has that he's now, you know.
But now that money is being used, you know,
I guess that's fair enough.
I know. This is the weird thing then. This is where like, it gets, there's no real black and white on that kind of stuff.
I almost went for like the most extreme argument, so I won't do that. But I've always, like, as a Christian, I've always liked the, it's kind of a complicated, almost paradoxical thing, because they'll say, you know, there's criticism within like what you would call, I can't remember what it's called now, but it was a very popular kind of Christianity in the 60s and 70s, you know, very, very socialist, left-wing priests and things of that working, and what was it called now? Gee, I wish I could remember. But anyway, so there's been a lot of criticism of in lots of parts of like Paul and his letters and things like that. And there's things where it's like, pray for people in power, you know, and listen to what they tell you. Don't go against what people in power are telling you. This is what Paul was writing to the Christians. For one thing, you can't take what Paul said as like an overall blanket statement, because he was writing specific letters to particular people. He wasn't like saying everyone has to do what I'm writing to you. He's just writing for a particular situation. But at the same time, what he was saying was, there's nothing you can do about what the government's doing to you. You know, those are people in power, and they're going to do whatever they want to us. What's important is that what we do, that's what counts. It's what we do to change them, and what we do to help each other, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know, rioting against them and mounting a revolution isn't going to do anything, as the Jews learned against the Romans. You know, it's going to do stuff, but it's not going to be a happy conclusion to their plans to, you know, rebel against the Roman Empire and throw the Romans out of Israel. Did not work out the way they wanted to, right? I mean, it resulted in like the destruction of the Jewish temple. The absolute destruction of it, right to the ground.
Yeah.
And in fact, the Romans planted crops where it once stood. And then the absolute dispersion of all the Jews out of Israel, out into the world, the diaspora. You know, that was the result of the idea of rebelling against the Roman government. So the Christians took the opposite view, which is, you know, that's not what we want to do. We want to make small changes, look, you know, within our own communities.
Right.
Work, you know, together is a community, and that's how change is affected, you know. And over time, it, you know, what happened is Christianity became such a powerful social force in that time, that when Constantine was looking for a political ally, a way to make himself more popular, is he latched onto Christianity because it was so popular within, you know, as a kind of grassroots movement. And so he elevated it to the state religion. That's when Christianity kind of lost its bearings in a way, and became this kind of monster of oppression that, you know, became the church.
It became a two-headed creature.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So he had this weird disconnect, right, between...
And I forget who in the Bible, you can't serve two masters. And it's like you've now become two things at the same time.
Exactly, yeah. And so then it became all about power, and everyone's, you know, everything becomes about, like, you know, destroying other groups that disagreed with each other, and, right, and all this, you know, the Albigensians and all these things, people killing each other.
That's what Christ was all about, was destroying anyone who was up against him.
Exactly. I mean, it's one thing to argue, but it's another thing to stab. And then the women got thrown out of positions of power in the church, and it was this giant, because it's kind of like the French Revolution, when the French Revolution was in this act of boiling state, it was full of all these people, you know, these high-minded idealists, you know, working towards this ideal state, which unfortunately didn't happen. But once it gained power, all those idealists were just destroyed.
Right.
And all these hidebound bureaucrats took over. So you had you lost, you know, all the idealists. And then you have like Robespierre there, you know, just chopping off heads, neck, right and left. But they, you know, you do that because that gives you power, you know. And so I see, I'm a cynic, so I can't help it.
But
I just
why?
See
but how, this is what I don't understand, is like how cynicism and Christianity go hand in hand. I can't see how those two work together.
Yeah, I know.
It seems like Christianity, the good parts about Christianity negate cynicism completely.
Obviously not, because I'm able to.
Well, maybe you're just not there yet.
I mean,
you're on a path. You're not.
You
don't go to church and they go, "Have you learned enough yet?" Well, you've leveled up to 20, buddy. You're done.
That's right.
We got no more to teach you. Well, journey's over.
That's why we rolled a 20-sided die when I started a church.
Yeah,
it gave me my 18 charisma. but it's I mean, that's part of it, and also the fact that you're a person. So I said before, it's like, I think it was Walt Whitman who said, "You know, do I contradict myself?" Very well. I contradict myself. I can contain. I can contain many multitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Your opinions.
But that seems okay. But here's what that is.
Things.
That's interesting that you brought up something that's like something that's so accepting that it's like accepting of yourself and your own worst elements. Yeah. It's just like, or you could be cynical about yourself and just go, "I guess I'm a douche." You know, it's just like, I'm never going to be good. Right. Look at me. But like, what
I don't
are you
think
saying?
I'm a douche. So.
No. Okay. But what you're saying is,
I don't think that politicians are the way political structures work are inherently exploitative and
how about not inherently but have been made into that, like if there's a company that starts off as a mom and pop store, that's not a corrupt company, but then that company, you know, then they franchise and they have another store across the street. Well, they're not corrupt yet, but when they become Walmart, whoo boy, now that's corrupt. But what point did that happen? It didn't start at the very beginning
but in a way it
you
does.
No,
way
it doesn't. It does. Yeah. Why does it start like that?
Because right away, the reason they became the Walmart is because right at the beginning, the germ of that transformation to Walmart is there. You know, your desire to close down competitors around you so that you get the money and they don't.
Right.
I mean, that's...
That's capitalism,
So that competition...
So is capitalism cynical and corrupt? Like, just the nature of capitalism, is that corrupt?
The nature of capitalism?
Yeah, capitalism itself is that corrupt, wanting more money, because you're getting money from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a successful, you know, shoe business, you're going to have to shut down other shoe businesses as you grow, or you're going to have to go, done, I've made enough money, thank you, there's room for all of us, which isn't capitalism.
Yeah, no,
so,
and it doesn't really work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
Because
so just
the companies want to...
So just being capitalist, is that corrupt?
I don't want to say that the system itself is corrupt. What I would say is that it has the germ of it has a germ of corruption in it, if that makes sense to you.
Then I would agree with that about government as well.
Yeah.
I would say it's the exact same thing. Governance isn't corrupt. If we decide, yeah. There's three of us in this room, and I say one of us has to pick what to have for lunch, and I go, Steve's going to do that.
Yeah.
We both agree that Steve's going to tell us what's going to have for lunch. We have not now made a corrupt system because we both voted Steve in.
Yeah. No, that's true.
But if now Steve makes other choices and we're building it up and now Steve's running more things,
yeah.
At one point, the temptation will definitely be there.
Right. And we look at Steve and he's got like a giant meal in front of him.
Yeah,
and
we're Steve, both get eating, the meatball sub.
And we're eating soup.
I got a salt lick.
And
then we got to kill Steve.
And what I feel is like some systems are more open to problems like corruption.
Right.
Like to me, a system like communism is more open to corruption than capitalism. If you know what I mean, or democracy.
Okay.
Because, you know, you put the power into a small group of people, you know, the control into a small group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what is the incentive for that group to then share that power? There's no incentive. Once you give power to people, it's very hard to get it back from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like trying to get the remote control from your daughter. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Though,
for the person who's in power,
yeah.
It's very difficult to maintain that power forever because there's always going to be someone else
who's
going to come in who wants that remote, not necessarily you.
Yeah.
But like, you know...
Well, that's why you accuse other people of wanting to take the remote and have trials that prove that they were going to take it from you. Then you send them away and then later on assassinate them when they're out of the country.
There you go. We brought up assassination a couple of times now to the point where we probably should stop doing it on a public podcast. Yeah, I guess, yeah. So those are our views on that. Hey, folks, what are yours on this particular subject topic?
Well, I mean, we came to this from gay marriage, which is kind of funny.
Yeah,
from the legalization of homosexuality, but because it seems so crazy that it wasn't done right away. But I just feel like that's the problem.
And nowadays, we're going to look from the future and go like, why did we let people have those hoops in their ears?
Oh my God, will we ever?
Yeah, and we're like, why didn't we stop that?
Why
didn't we stop it? Well, that's okay because you can smoke a cigar through it and like have kind of like the futuristic version of Groucho Marx will be there, which is like that cheek cigar, and it'll be adorable.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible. I think that's what you meant to say.
But let us know on our message board what you think.
Mm.
You know. Cynicism is that okay or cynicism a negative thing? Is government corrupt? You know, whatever. And but you know, before you do that, of course, go to straight.com.
What
I vote for your very favorite podcast. You know
it's
what?
It's got to be this one. Because what other show is talking about
this? We've been corrupted to the point where like we're selling out now trying to get people. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. There's a prize involved with it, by the way.
Oh, now it's even worse.
You can win a trip to Maui if you answer all the poll questions.
Oh, then we're going to go there. We're going to do some Maui Wowie. We're going to get all corrupted there.
I just want some pineapple there.
Listen, if you want the two of us to... Wait, no, a second. The people who vote get the Maui thing, not the people who win.
Yeah, that's right. The people who vote get the Maui thing.
Right, we don't get that.
We don't get nothing. Right. We're just encouraging you.
All we're saying is you should do that just to get the trip to Maui. It's free.
You can vote for whoever you want.
Right.
We don't care about that part of it.
You could vote for Completely Beatles or Sneaky Dragon.
That's right.
We have no problem.
We don't care.
And you can vote for any episode of Sneaky Dragon.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't want any accusations of corruption here.
No.
This is clearly us open-heartedly recommending to you that you vote for us.
And if they ask what your favorite broadcaster is, you can go Ian Boothby.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, most annoying person in Vancouver, David Dedrick. You can just write that right in there.
I once won biggest asshole in the Generic Drivel readers poll.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was your own magazine, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least that wasn't a corrupt institution then.
It was nice.
Good.
Because it could have been anyone. It could have been like Bill Van Der Zandt, the leader of the right-wing party
could
at the time.
Could have been Hitler.
Could have been Hitler. I don't know why
But you beat Hitler as greatest asshole.
People still have a grudge. Against Hitler, if they still think it's, you know, I think we've kind of pretty much know him. I don't know if it's necessary to always bring him up all the time. But.
Oh, you don't think we should talk about Hitler being bad anymore? That's an interesting, bold statement Dave's making.
It's not that
a little bit pro-Hitler there, Dave. Ending the show with a pro-Hitler thing.
I just feel like, you know,
if
you live in modern times that you could see...
Oh, you mean the movie Modern Times by Charlie Chaplin? Well, I think there's another movie called The Great Dictator you should see, sir. Maybe that one would teach
that's
you a
thing. That's not as good a film as Modern Times,
by because
the way.
It puts down your friend Adolf Hitler, I guess.
No, it puts down my friend.
David, isn't it true that you do a title card every week where you paint a title card who was another painter? Adolf Hitler.
That's right. I do it while I'm hanging wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is your wife's name not Eva Braun, sir?
It is not.
Okay, fair enough.
It's Eve Braun.
Did she change her name?
She did.
Okay, good. Listen, I'm not saying that Hitler was bad just because he was a politician.
I'm saying that it was a situation that certainly allowed for corruption.
And there you go.
Yeah.
Listen, if you got some pro-Nazi rantings, and you want to put them on our board.
Please don't.
Please don't. Actually, Dave has to approve them all, please, so don't worry about it.
Please don't.
SneakyDragon.com is our message board. We're also on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Sneaky_Dragon. We love to hear from you. And I think that's generally... Oh, by the way, if you like wearing clothing... You know, I know comes the summertime, you're all like, oh, I got to take my jacket off. Oh, my shirts that I have now, they're so ratty and I look poor. Okay, well, don't be ashamed, friend. What you should do is you should go to SneakyDragon.com.
No, you should be ashamed if that's what you look like.
Oh, be ashamed, friend.
Be so ashamed that you go to Sneaky Dragon's website.
Yeah, you are sore ashamed.
You
will go to Sneaky Dragon's website and you will go to what section of the website, Dave?
Ye old shop.
It actually does say that. We're not just making that up for this point. It actually says ye old shop.
Should I change it? I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny. That, you know, nothing makes greater sales than humoristic listings. Because people go, ha ha, I'm confused. I'm leaving. The end.
All right.
So, you know what it's like? It's like a funny washroom sign where no one knows where to pee.
I'll change it to
go to ye old shop, and we got a wide variety of t-shirts based on Dave's title card designs. He does a new title card every week. Yep. And some of them go to shirt form. So there we go.
That's true.
All right. So anyway, we have really covered a lot of ground here.
I just want to say one thing. This is not like a hilarious story or whatever, but it's kind of interesting. Last week, we were talking a lot about bathrooms and nude males in bathrooms and such things. It was a fun show.
Okay.
It was a fun show.
Sure.
And were you going to say something?
I'm just drinking some water myself.
Okay.
Here. Go ahead, Dave.
So I was going to make a title card. One thing you said you didn't want to be in the title card, but that wouldn't stop me, by the way.
No.
I could care less what you say.
You know what would have been a good title card?
Mm-hmm.
The cover said Whiz Comics, because that used to be a comic, but it was two guys taking a whiz instead of Captain Marvel. That would have been good.
Sure.
I'll mail that one to the past. Sure, please continue with your story.
Yes, I want to draw two people peeing.
There used to also be a superhero called The Whizzer, and he had an all-yellow outfit.
No, is it?
Remember that guy?
No, I do not.
Yeah, there's a guy called The Whizzer, all yellow outfit. Here's where his powers were, I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah.
Bitten by a mongoose and got mongoose speed.
Okay.
Continue
and
with
mongoose
your story.
Color? Why was he yellow?
I have no idea, but he was named The Whizzer and he was married to Miss America.
Mm.
Please continue.
So, what I was thinking of at the time, I was like, you know what would be hilarious is if we took the bathroom scene, the Turkish bath scene from Eastern Promises.
Yes.
Where, and for some reason in my mind... Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah.
That's his name, right?
That's correct. I believe so.
And and another guy were wrestling naked. I don't know why I thought that.
That's what they do in the movie.
No, it's not.
They fight. Nude.
He's nude, but the other guys are clothed.
Oh.
Ooh, indeed. Yeah. So I took the trouble of getting Eastern Promises. I won't say how I got it, but I got it. And so then I went immediately to the scene of the Turkish bath scene. And then I went through it.
And then your
it.
Wife walked in the room. And she went, why didn't you watch any part of the movie besides this?
And why was it surrounded by paper towel? That was the hardest part to answer.
You were saying, because I'm eating hot wings, darling.
That's right.
And I love Eastern Promises and hot wings.
I asked, could you bring me a bowl of hot water with a lemon in it?
And whatever sounds you hear, don't come in the living room.
I was out in the studio. I have, come on, privacy, man. So I went through step by step. Looking for like a great frame.
Yeah.
And then I realized that the guys are totally, I was wanted like two guys wrestling. And instead I got one guy naked and the other guys were clothed. And so I went through it step by step trying to find like this perfect scene. I was also editing the show at this time. So I was listening to the show.
Right. While watching nude wrestling.
I was editing the show.
Watching nude wrestling.
I was watching.
In your private.
I was watching.
Head out back.
I was watching Haywire on Netflix.
Sure.
And I was also going through step by step, frame by frame.
Frame by frame.
Eastern Promises through the Turkish
Viggo
bath Markinson, sequence.
Viggo Mortensen nude.
Yes. I paused quite a bit during his during shots of him.
Sure. Why not?
Because I was trying to find...
Do you know what, Dave? Hmm? It's illegal now. Don't worry. Pierre Trudeau says, you can do that.
Yeah. The bedroom has no place in the nations of the people.
That's right. And that's why Pierre Trudeau banned bedrooms. It was an accidental law that was passed for 4 years.
Typical corruption.
No one could go into a bedroom.
He's all part of the kitchen lobby. So then I went through it, you know, I was editing the show, and I could not find like a scene that worked. Like I tried all kinds of different ways. Like, you know, he's fighting, he's stabbing. There's lots of stabby scenes. He's got covered in blood and, he's fighting these guys. There is a couple other guys in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or in the Turkish bath, in the steam room. They kind of scurry out of the way and then one takes off and the other guy, I don't know what he does, cowers in the corner. And I couldn't find something that worked. So I finished editing the show. I put the show up. I finished watching Haywire. Actually, I didn't watch. I just watched little bits of it.
Yeah, it's a good movie to watch.
It was silent. It was just silent. I just didn't have the sound on.
She's a good fighter.
Really good. And you know what? I thought, okay, I got no ideas. I got nothing. I got nothing. I spent the whole day at work thinking about how cool
naked
it would
Viggo
be.
Naked Viggo Mortensen.
Well, you and me naked rolling around on the floor. That's what I was thinking about all day at work.
Sounds great.
Drawings of you and me.
Sure.
Naked rolling around on the floor.
I'm confident. Don't worry about it.
Hey, don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous at all.
This is not illegal anymore.
I'm absolutely fine with this.
The communists
situation.
Cannot blackmail us. Don't worry.
I am a very open-minded person. I'm cool with this whole thing. Anything for art. So, go ahead.
So then but it didn't work. Like, all my planning. So I was just like, oh, this is no good. Like, this sucks.
What you gonna do? No title card this week, you say?
Exactly. I'm gonna go to bed. That's what I said. I said, you know, it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm tired.
That's right.
I've been up an awful lot lately studying Beatles books.
Yep.
I'm going to bed. So I went to bed and I got into bed and I was laying there in bed. And then immediately the idea of Calvin, because we were talking about Calvin and Hobbes mm-hmm. in the show as well, the idea of Calvin peeing on the Sneaky Dragon logo just popped into my head like right away. I was like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. And then I went to bed. I just fell asleep. I was already in bed. I just fell asleep. That was interesting. It's just funny how the mind works, right?
Yeah.
Because we were talking about completely Beatles, like the John Lennon writing songs, like where he's just completely given up on the idea that yeah. the song is ever going to come. And it's like, oh, forget it. And then, you know, just kind of half asleep. And suddenly it pops into his yeah. head, this great song. And he's just like, that's it. You
You've got to relax your brain. I mean, that's like most of a lot of my good ideas like come when I just go to hit the bathroom. And I'm like, I've stopped thinking about work at all. I'm like, oh, that dang. All right. And you got to run back and, you know, hopefully pull up your pants before you do that and yeah. Get that idea. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to relax your brain. You know what? You're going to be driving home after this. You're going to think of all the great topics you should have talked about on this show.
That I should have talked about in the show?
Should have, but you didn't. But, you know, you'll go, I'm going to talk about them next week. You know mm-hmm. what you're going to do? You're not going to.
Yeah, because you had a topic you're going to talk about last week, and then you debated
totally.
This week.
Who needs that? Topics? that's for chumps.
For sissies.
This is the kind of thing that gets us fourth place in the straight.
Third place tied. Third place tied. That's what we're going for.
Okay.
Come on, people.
We're happy with
we can do that. Third place.
Let's make it happen.
But let's make it a clean third place, everybody. Clean third place.
Okay.
I don't want to tie with a sports podcast.
Okay.
That's not really a podcast because
Dave
it's
hates
a radio
sports.
Show.
He really
no,
hates
I
sports
to the,
so much.
I listen to the station at work, but it's a radio station. It's not a podcast, so it's kind of unfair.
Here's the thing. We all got like gift certificates, and we've had to share them with that sports podcast, and those guys are jerks.
Yeah.
So every time we go out to see a movie, mm-hmm. we have to see it with the whole sports podcast.
Yeah.
That's annoying. We got a free bus pass, but we can only use it together in a group.
Well, that's
so
right.
So every time I got to take the bus, I got to call a whole sports podcast.
That's
they
the thing
go
about
with
sports.
Me.
That's what they say about hockey.
That's right.
Power play corrupts. Absolute power play corrupts completely.
It is not going to get better than that. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
And we're out.
Anytime I want to start, I can. Anytime.